Hello, everyone. Welcome back to another Cosmic Circus review. My name is Vin. With me, as always, is John.
Hello.
Today, we're talking about Nickel Boys. Please remember to like, subscribe, and follow. I'm really excited to talk about this movie because I'd never even heard of it until like a month ago. It suddenly started, people were started talking about it in January. They started getting all this awards buzz, and all of a sudden, here we are watching it. It's already on streaming. So I'm excited to dive into this with you and to see what's going on. Nickel Boys, 2024, directed by Rommel Ross, screenplay by Rommel Ross and Jocelyn Barnes, based on the book Nickel Boys by Colson Whitehead, starring Ethan Hersey as Elwood, Brandon Wilson as Turner, Hamish Linklater, Fred Hechinger, David Diggs, Jimmy Fails, and Anjanou Ellis Taylor. And I said all those names because I think they're all exceptional in this movie. I just want to say a quick couple things. Nickel Boys won already the New York Film Critics Circle Award for Best Director, and it's been nominated for the Academy Oscar Award for Best Picture and Best Adapted Screenplay. It's about these two boys who are at a school. They're black boys. They're at a school for corrective behavior, and they go through really horrific experiences there. And it's about their life during at the school and life after the school, before, during, and after the school. And it's fictional, but it's based on real events from real schools and real events that happened in the American South, and not even that long ago.
No,
So that.
it's not long
Yeah.
ago. That's what's terrifying
That's what's
about
really
it.
horrific about it. Yeah, it's basically it's like slavery, but in and within almost within our lifetimes. It's really horrific.
Yes. Yeah, within my dad's lifetime, even.
Yeah.
Like
So it.
that's the scary part about it. Like, this is not long ago at all.
John, what did you think of this movie?
Well, then I'm gonna say this. As the basic white male on this review channel, I feel fitting for you to go first.
Okay,
I wanna
well,
know your perspective.
I have a lot. So the first thing I want to start with, first we watched this movie. We were planning to record a few days ago. We didn't. Those few days, I used to research. So first, I want to talk about Rommel Ross, the director. He is a filmmaker, a photographer, a professor, and a writer. His directorial debut was Hale County This Morning, This Evening, 2018, which won the Peabody Award and the Academy Award nomination for Best Documentary Feature and the Primetime Emmy Award for Exceptional Merit in Documentary Filmmaking. He was born in Germany, raised in Virginia. He studied English, sociology, and photography. He is a professional basketball player in Ireland. He started video editing basketball videos there, and now he's an assistant professor of visual art at Brown University. What the heck is this guy's biography?
You gotta start somewhere.
It is
That's good.
incredible. And I feel every bit of his biography influenced this movie. You can feel everything in here, the English, the sociology, the photography, the visual art, the video editing, and the history of the South and these cultures from the South. One more particular thing, and I'm going to bring this up later. He watches a movie called Le Jetée every month. Have you heard of this movie?
I'm not, no.
It is a 30-minute science fiction movie, 30 minutes, okay? It's told entirely in still images. That's it. The whole movie is still images, science fiction movie with voiceover narration, and it has a score. There's all these strange whispers, very strange sound design. There's a quote from this movie, which I sent you right before we started. The quote: "Nothing distinguishes memories from ordinary moments. Only later do they become memorable by the scars they leave." Do you have any idea how that could relate to this movie?
Say it to me one more time.
Nothing distinguishes memories from ordinary moments. Only later do they become memorable by the scars they leave.
I could write
Yeah.
a whole
Yeah.
essay about how
Yeah.
this connects to the film.
Yeah. What a line.
But I would have to go into my perspective of the film
Yeah.
and what you're ready for me to do, that I'm curious what your thoughts are on it.
I've been talking way too much already. But I think I when I was watching that short movie, that line stood out to me so much, and the whole concept of using visual photography, because this whole movie is basically photography, and not photography like normal cinema photography, but it's photography like camera photography.
First
Both of
person photography.
first, yes, both of these, the whole movie is told in first person point of view, and we have two main characters, and we see the movie through their eyes, like they're holding a camera basically, and it's not a camera like your normal movie camera. This is a camera like I'm taking a picture of you. And we even have characters interacting with them, looking directly into their eyes, just like you have a photograph looking, like when you take a picture. If I took a picture of you, John, you'd be looking directly at me, right? And
Yeah.
I think that it's a little bit distancing. And I want to get into that with you later. Like, was this effective or not? Was this good or not? Because this is divisive. But the effect of it is that now the movie, it's not a video camera. It's a personal camera. And everything we see in this movie is basically their memories. The whole movie is basically their memories of their life. And there's ordinary things that happen. The beginning of this movie is very mundane. Then there's extraordinary, horrific things that happen. And there's no like huge tension dramatically or anything. We're seeing it all like authentically, just through their point of view and their memories. Like if something terrible happens, sometimes they're looking at it, sometimes they look away. Because in a movie, like you would zoom in on the action. Sometimes they look away from the action. You know what I'm talking about? And it's such an incredible choice, like what you do with your camera as a filmmaker. Do you understand what I'm saying?
So there was an interview with the cinematographer, Jomo Frey, I think, where he speaks on that, where they were trying to, like, apparently what they did, I think this is a really neat little thing to talk about, is they studied what the actors would do in a conversation
Perfect. Yeah.
before they filmed it. So, like, whenever the performance is like, what's her name? Nana.
Anjanou
Yeah,
Ellis Daly.
amazing performance, amazing performance. So whenever they would see them interact, like together, they would base the camera on cinematography, like their shot list, on what they were doing in that conversation.
Brilliant. Yeah.
Which, yeah, it's a brilliant idea for cinematography. What did you think, though?
Yeah, I know. I'm talking a lot around the movie.
Yeah.
So I think it's very imperfect. I don't think it's as like sleek and as perfectly well executed as some of the other movies we saw from last year. But I think that kind of adds to it in this like kind of handmade way. There's a scene in the bar, which is after the school, takes place after the school. There's two characters in a bar. You know the
Yeah.
scene.
Yeah, with
And
the games. Yeah.
There's something I noticed, which is in the scene, they actually repeat their lines. Did you catch that?
Yeah, I did catch it.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean,
And this bar, like there's one part where they actually just repeat. Both characters repeat their lines. And I'm like, did my video glitch? What's wrong with this? And I looked it up later and the director actually filmed the whole thing as one 20-minute take, single take, and he just didn't cut it. So even if the actors mess up their line, repeat their line, that was all in that one take. And that's in
I
the
don't, the way I read that scene though,
Yes, it feels like it belongs. It adds to this kind of disorienting, surreal, like it adds to the movie, which is just incredible. Like it's not perfect, but it's not trying to be perfect. It's very kind of messy, but it all adds to the experience.
the way I read the scene, like, and it's up to interpretation, is that individual that he's talking to seems to have like a little bit of incoherence to him.
Okay.
Like he's either like drunk, he's either on drugs or he's on alcohol or something to deal with the fact that he never dealt with his grief from being young in a healthy way. Like it just feels like he probably doesn't have the right resources to get the help. And
That's possible. Yeah. Yeah.
the way that I felt about that scene, and I'm gonna have to rewatch it again. I've seen the movie twice now, by the way,
Okay.
but the way I read that sequence is he kind of like a son or a daughter talking to somebody with Alzheimer's. You're catering to the conversation without trying to act like without trying to act like they're not repeating themselves.
I see.
That's the way I read it.
Yeah.
He was just trying to appease this guy that he hasn't seen for a long time, or
Brilliant.
make him feel like he didn't, that he was doing that twice. That's the way I felt.
And I love that. I love that you're saying that because I think this is the kind of movie that is just bursting for you to talk about. There's so many things that different people will like and not like and interpret this way, interpret that way. Lots of people will not like this movie. And lots of people will like this movie and they'll like different things about it. It's not a perfect movie, but it's such an interesting movie. Do you know what I mean?
Oh, I do. Well, here's my thoughts. Here's my thoughts. So can I read a quote from Roger Ebert?
Yeah, let's go. Yeah.
Forgive me, guys. I gotta look at my computer for this. So it's very important for me to read this. This is one of my favorite quotes from Roger Ebert. He says, "If it's a great movie, it lets you understand a little bit more about what it's like to be a different gender, a different race, a different age, a different economic class, a different nationality, a different profession, different hopes, aspirations, dreams, and fears. It helps us to identify the people who are sharing this journey with us. And that, to me, is the most notable thing that good movies can do. And it's a reason to encourage them and to support them and to go to them. And that's his quote about movies being empathy machines.
Beautiful,
That's
perfect quote.
what he talks about. To me, this movie is groundbreaking. I think it's a very groundbreaking film. It's very rare for a director, a writer, an artist to do a film from the first-person perspective. People have tried to do that with video game movies, and it just looks stupid. Like they did it with Doom, and it looked bad. They were trying to pay homage to the video game, and you're like, this is awful. This is just pure garbage. But then you get somebody who actually has something to say with it, and they invoke the first-person perspective in a way that not only just tells the story, it puts you in the story. The sequence where he's in the car with the stranger he doesn't know, and the cop pulls them over,
Oh my God, great scene.
I felt every bit of that in a more tangible way than I have in like 8,000 other films that have shown me that. Because I felt like I was a part of it.
Yeah, you're in it. And I just love when like he looks away and you don't see the good stuff. He looks away because
He's scared.
it's his point of view.
He's
And
scared.
I even related to that, then if you remember, the movie cuts and there's like a jump in time as if like this is what he remembered, and then he doesn't really remember what happened after that. It's all a blur after that.
Yeah.
And I like I was saying at the beginning, this whole movie feels like it's all memories, and it's kind of surreal. And then what makes it confusing too is that we have the two protagonists, and sometimes it's a little confusing. Whose memories am I seeing? Am I seeing Elwood's or am I seeing Turner's? And as you go through the movie, it gets a little bit muddier on purpose, and that's
I
so
like
brilliant.
it because the answer is yes. That
It's so wonderful.
is it
It's so
his or
effective.
is it Elwood's or is it Turner's? Yes, that's the answer. Yes, and the thing is, like, I'm never seen it done quite this effective and this authentic. And you even get the slightest mannerisms, like in the photography, which I think makes the photography all the more brilliant. I think even from a script writing perspective, it's remarkable. Like I got a copy of the screenplay, by the way.
Oh, great, great.
Yeah, so I think even from that perspective, it's phenomenally done. I'm not gonna lie to anybody, it's a hard movie to watch.
It
Like
definitely is for so many reasons. So many
it's
reasons.
not something that people are going to be entertained. It's not meant to entertain you at all, but it does offer insights in remarkable ways that I've not seen done like this. The other thing that it made me think about, it brought back memories of watching Watchmen, the HBO Watchmen recently, where, and I know that's a weird connection, but give me a
Oh,
sec.
I see it. I see it. Go on. Go on.
I didn't know about the Black Wall Street incident. I didn't know about that. And same with this kind of situation. It feels like the older you get, the more you learn about these terrible things that just don't get taught, you don't learn about, you don't hear about. And people can like make claims about whatever political agenda they want. It is very important for people to hear about things like this. It's very important. There's no critical race theory with this crap. This is a real thing that happened, and these are things that do need to be talked about. Not because you're a bad person for anything that anybody did in the past, but just so that we don't go back to that.
And both of us
People.
grew up in Texas, and I'm pretty sure both of us have stories from our life of these kinds of things intentionally being censored from us, maybe in our history classes, or like I remember I had some of those teachers. You'd say, "What's the Civil War about?" And they'd say, "It's not about slavery, it's about states' rights." And that is what they would teach us as kids in Texas.
Well, see, I was taught. Well, that's what's weird to me now is like where I was at. I was told it was about flavor.
It depended on the teacher. Different teachers said different things to me.
I was told it, like, to me, everything, and it's a weird thing to like go through now where people are like trying to rebrand it, but I'm like, since when have we tried to redefine what the hell happened back then? And it's just another, it's another film that just shows things that like I'm it's just another, it's another film that just shows things that like I wish I knew about. I'm like, why didn't I know about this stuff?
So this movie has it's such an interesting point of view. It's so interesting, well made. The editing is interesting. The concept is interesting. The story is interesting. Like, there's so much. The historical background is interesting. There's so much richness here to explore. And like you mentioned, also the nanny and just the family relationship, his relationship with the friend. I love the dialogue scene between Elwood and Turner because they have two different points of view. Do you remember that? They have two different points of view, and sometimes they're clashing a little bit. And I thought those were some of the best scenes of the movie.
And it switches back and forth in conversation. And he's, Elwood has got the idealistic, that we could fight sensibility, and Turner's got that extremely just it doesn't matter perspective. Like,
There's nothing we can do anymore.
and you understand both. You understand both. Like, when you have an entire world telling you something, it's hard to feel like you can body it. You get, I'm not even in that position, and there are things even from my experience, just from my personal perspective, that I feel like, why am I trying to fight this someday? It's like, why should I worry about my disabled rights? It's a strong film. I think it's like the cinematography. I think the cinematography is incredibly remarkable, because I think 85% of the story is all like thanks to the cinematography. And brilliant work, dude. Brilliant work.
Connecting back to the movie I mentioned, Legati, again, that whole movie is in still images. The whole movie is just a slideshow of images. And this movie is kind of like that. This is literally moving pictures because it's like a picture and someone's smiling at you. Just like I would take a picture of you. And it's just these moving images that literally tell a story through moving photographs. It's a new way to think about movies, right? Moving picture movies. I want to mention, we were talking about the camera earlier. And interviews, the director specified that it's not directly like what we call POV. This is called sentient perspective, which means it's not like a GoPro just on their head following them around. That they're using the camera to tell the emotional experience of the character, and he's using a shallow, a kind of a narrow, shallow field, so that you're focused on just kind of the center of the image and kind of the edges of the image blur a little bit. So it's like not just that a GoPro on your head, but actually like you are actually in their eyes and you're feeling what they feel. It's so effective.
Am I correct that it was that it's not even widescreen? It's
That's
the
right.
four,
It's square. It's square. Well, like I think 4x3.
4x3, which are the, again, amazing choice. Amazing choice.
Again, like a camera, like you're looking at a photograph, right? Did you ever feel, especially at the beginning when you first were watching it, did you ever feel this was distancing? It was hard to get into the movie because of that.
No, being to me, that first person perspective kind of got me in the moment. Like, I felt like I was there with them. It made me feel distant from maybe the other side of the conversation. But I think that was intentional, because maybe I'm off base, maybe I'm incorrect, but they are supposed to feel a lot.
Oh, that's great.
They're supposed to feel alone and abandoned. And even that conversation that he has with his grandma, like, there's a moment in the film where Elwood and his nana are at like a table, and she's talking to him about a lawyer. And she, even though she's right there in front of him, there's just something about the way it's shot, the way it feels. She just doesn't feel connected to him. She feels distant even right there. There's something about it, like because you don't get that two-sided conversation that you typically have. There is something that puts you at a distance from her, that kind of creates this loneliness that you feel within the character.
Oh, so good.
So that was my takeaway from it. I don't know if you have any.
No, I didn't even I didn't even think about that explicitly, but now that you're saying it, yeah, because I think, like I said, like I struggled to get into this at first. Like I wasn't really connecting with it until as the movie goes on, it won me over. It gets better and better and better. But
It's
at the first, I was
challenging.
like, at first, I was like, I don't know. I don't know if I'm feeling this. And I was I didn't dislike it, but it was challenging. And then it wins you over as it's going. Like you have to learn the movie's language to get into it. You know what I mean?
Well, in that one, to come full circle from our conversation and flow, you remember how I brought up the New World in that review? So Jomo Frey is also a fan of Terrence Malick. He also cited the New World and other Terrence Malick films like as inspiration. Now, I don't know if have you seen a lot of Terrence Malick?
I've seen some, but not a lot. I need to.
So that is how I felt watching this. When I first watched Tree of Life, and I think that was my second or third Malick experience, but Tree of Life is way challenging. It is the most ambitious and challenging, I think, movie ever made, because there's nothing coherent at play. It's just like you're going through a dream and seeing somebody's life, with little aspects of a life without getting the full context.
And that's exactly how this movie kind of feels, isn't it?
That's exactly how it kind of feels. Well, you get more here. There's more to grab onto, but the way that that was filmed is how I felt watching this at first. Is that at first you're like, okay, what is he doing? And then once you figure it out, then you feel like you're on the roller coaster, and you're like, oh, okay, I'm understanding the prose. I get it now. Okay. But just like Malick, it takes a while to get into the groove.
And it's just so interesting because I didn't love this movie. And even by the time I finished, I was like, this is really good, but I still don't know how I feel about it. But then I have so much to say about it, and I keep thinking about it, and I keep thinking about the choices and all these decisions that I really like. I think the biggest issue is that sometimes like I feel kind of emotionally distant, but that, like you said, that's kind of intentional too.
It is intentional, yeah.
And but it does hit you like at the end. Like I want to ask, maybe we could a little bit of spoilers. At the end, there's a camera that distances from one of the characters. What do you think that means?
The distance is from one of the
So,
characters.
because we see instead of seeing from their eyes, we're seeing the back of their head. You know what I'm talking about, right?
Yeah, and that happens a few times. I'm not really
But th there's
sure.
one that we see the moment the transition happens, right?
Well, it happens a few times. It happens in the first punishment scene. You know what I'm talking about? Where they take the boys to that room, and they're about to inflict pain on them. So it
And you see the
happens.
back of their head?
You see the back of Elwood's head before he gets hurt.
I don't
So
remember that.
I don't know if there's like a there's some kind of like maybe some kind of like communication as far as like where he feels outside his body in that moment, maybe.
That's how I interpreted it, especially at the end, with there's one character who goes through a big transformation at the end of the movie that changes how you see him in the future. And that's how I interpreted that. Now, after this moment happens, like he's now kind of distanced from himself for the rest of his life. And he's kind of outside his own body for the rest of his life.
Well, the first time, it seems like the first time we see that is with Elwood, and that's in that room.
I need to go back and revisit that.
Yeah, but if you know how the movie ends, there's a kind of forgot to say without spoiling it, but there's some kind of switch that kind of happens, which again, poetically beautiful the way that transpired. And tragic and a lot of other things that I don't even know how to like convey without talking about the ending. But
Do you want to do a spoiler thing?
it's been out for a while. I mean, I don't see why not if we wanted to, yeah.
Spoilers. Ah!
Out now.
Okay, go on.
Spoilers for the Nickel Boys. The ending of this film involves the two guys, Elwood and Turner, trying to escape this horrible, horrible reform school, and they get chased down by I don't know if I remember how that kid is involved with everything, He was just one of the white kids that just worked there.
I think he's the white kid who's driving them around during the movie.
Yeah. Well, he chases them down, and instead of killing them both, he kills Elwood, and Turner gets away. Turner didn't really have much of a life before he went to this reform school, and he finds a new life, basically taking the place of Elwood's when he gets back home. But he runs all the way back to the Nana character, where she, I'm still trying to understand that scene, whether she knows that he's not Elwood, or if she was starting to. It seems like it kind of implied that she was starting to have a little dementia. I don't know if you
Oh,
noticed
no,
that.
I didn't get, my interpretation was that she knows what happened. Is that, and that's why she's crying and why she's so upset when he comes to her.
But they and I but they, that's what I was wondering. But there's one scene where she's in a kitchen and she's looking for Elwood. Like there's nobody in her house, and
I think that's when she gets older, I think.
that's what
Yeah.
I'm wondering.
Yeah, as she gets older, yeah.
I didn't know if that was connected or not, but it's implied that he basically assumes the identity of Elwood, and Dobby Diggs is Turner, but as
Under
Elwood.
Elwood's name, yeah. So my interpretation, because as David Diggs, we see the back of his head the whole time. So my interpretation is that there's two ways I kind of thought about it. One, it's Elwood and his soul kind of following David Diggs, watching him. The second is that maybe, like I was saying, maybe Turner, after Elwood dies, Turner is now outside of his body, and Turner is seeing himself like he himself kind of died. He's watching himself, but he's out of body now.
Yeah,
He's
or
no longer
he
himself.
never felt like himself again. Never
Yeah,
felt like
and
himself again.
exactly. And I honestly think both. Why not both? Like in that moment, like that's when they kind of joined, and that's why the whole movie it's cutting between their two points of view. Because, like you said, it's both. This whole movie is them together, unified,
As one.
and that's what happens. That's what happens in that moment, I think. Yeah, I
And
just
it's
love how we can interpret this so many different ways. It's a beautiful movie.
extremely poetic and beautiful and painful and all so many adjectives that I could like say in a 30-minute YouTube video.
Yeah, but it's like this movie, like I completely understand the people who don't like this either. Like it's not like I would just pass this to my best friend and say, "Hey man, watch this on a Friday night. Get some popcorn." You
Yeah,
know?
no,
It's
it's hard.
cerebral. It's hard, and you need to appreciate it like a work of art more than yeah.
Well, it's one of those movies that you gotta build yourself up to watch. Like, for example, there was a Netflix series about the Central Park Five many years ago
Okay.
from Ava DuVernay.
Oh, when they see us. Oh, no, I missed it. I missed it.
Oh my gosh,
Oh,
man.
I need to watch this.
Okay, so
Yeah.
I didn't want to watch it. I didn't want to, not because like I'm not supportive,
Yes.
I knew what I was gonna go through. And
Yeah. Yeah.
I had a friend of mine that said, I'm telling you as a friend, I need you to watch this. And I was like, okay, same thing. It is five episodes of some of the most troubling recounts of what we can do to human beings. And I do think it's one of the most important series out there. But just like that one, I had to work myself up to sit down and get ready for that. And that's kind of how it is sometimes. I mean, same thing with Schindler's List. I don't think anybody watches Schindler's List to be entertained. They're watching it to like to remember, why we need to know these things. But I can't stress it enough. If this is something that you feel passionate about, kind of like I do, and I think a lot of other people do, it is a great film. It is an important story. It is another recount of some of the worst things that we have done here in the States, and just continue to ignore. I think David Chin said it best recently. Whenever this past November happened, that progress is not a straight line, and that is true. I think we still have a lot of hurdles to go through, and some of this, like, it's not as bad as it used to be, but some of this, little fragments of it still exist. And yeah, that's all I'm gonna say.
No, good. Before we go, I just want to say again, this quote from Ligeti: "Nothing distinguishes memories from ordinary moments. Only later do they become memorable by the scars they leave." Because this whole movie, it's all about their memories, and the boring, the mundane moments are mixed with the horrific moments, and it's all just memories. And it's not even linear; it's all just jumbled and mixed up. And his memory, we don't know who is. It's all just, but it's all their memories, and only later do they become memorable by the scars they leave. That you only in retrospect, once you finish the movie, you look back at it, and then you can kind of differentiate these different
Yes.
moments from their lives. Just beautiful.
Beautiful then.
All right, man, that was it. So thanks, guys. Thanks everyone for watching. If you enjoyed our discussion, if you enjoyed the movie, if you have thoughts, comments, you feel differently, let us know in the comments below. What are your predictions for the Oscars just in a few weeks? I'm Vin. You can find me on Blue Sky. I've been Rice Worth.
I am John, and you can find me at John Movie Watch on Blue Sky.
Be sure to follow thecosmiccircus.com on Blue Sky and at My Cosmic Circus. You can find more reviews, articles, editorials, and opinions like the ones you just watched. Thanks, guys. See you next time.
Bye.